Happy Fourth Weekend. It's a time when we consider what kingdoms and freedom and all those wonderful things mean. Remember that our gospel today is on the heels of Jesus' words that we heard about last week. His sense of urgency, his focus, his going somewhere, very important, Jerusalem. And Luke says his face was set toward Jerusalem. In Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and ultimately the cross, he had intention. But he also wanted his disciples to have intention and to continue to preach and reveal the one thing: the kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God has come near you. The mission of the disciples and 58 others. It was a training mission. It was a practice run, but a very real run, to train them for all those things that Luke records in the book of Acts, just two books after in your Bibles. They put their feet in the living water of the kingdom of heaven. This was the message of Jesus, and the message that Jesus wanted the 70 to proclaim. The kingdom of God has come near. And that message continues to have power. The kingdom of God is at hand. Can you picture today Jesus sending all of us out for that same kind of mission? Are you ready? Are we ready? I hope that as we celebrate our great country and its freedom, and we watch the fireworks this weekend, and as we are grateful for that freedom that we have, we should never confuse the earthly kingdom with the heavenly one. And by kingdom, I am not just talking about an after-death experience. That's often where we go when we say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh yeah, that happens after we die. It happened when Jesus came in the incarnation. The kingdom of heaven was and is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is come to you. Now, it is not of this world. It is God's world and realm that is greater than the one that we inhabit. But it has come. In Jesus, that kingdom is a reality, if we can perceive it. Remember, Jesus himself said, if someone says the kingdom is there or there, don't listen to him. If someone says Christ has come here or there, don't listen to him, because the kingdom is in your midst. We cannot confuse the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. St. Augustine said, the earthly city glorifies in itself. The heavenly city glorifies in the Lord. Now, there's a phrase, the acclamation that we have at the beginning of our service, almost for the whole year, other than Lent and Easter. What is our acclamation? Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was a little sleepy, honestly, a little bit sleepy. Let's try that again. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Well, what are we saying there? What are we saying? As soon as we step into this place and we say God's kingdom is blessed forever, we're saying something different. Something you won't hear anywhere else. in our entire world. And actually, Roman Catholics say it, Eastern Orthodox say it in their own way. And we're saying something very different. God's kingdom is blessed. God's kingdom is more important than anything else we can imagine. I want to start with that teaching of the kingdom because it's indispensable in understanding what this mission that Jesus is sending the 70 is all about and sends us as well. And based on our gospel, I have three reflections. First, Jesus knew where he was sending them. Second, look at how they went, two by two. And lastly, they were totally dependent on Christ and his message. First, Jesus knew where he was sending them. Notice what the text says. Jesus sent them to places that he himself was going to be. He knew the Holy Spirit was already ahead of him. Luke tells us Jesus sent the 70 to places he intended to go. This wasn't a random mission. This wasn't a, why don't you go out and see what happens? Jesus had intention. He was sending them where he was going. The soil was already ready. And as Jesus says, the harvest was plentiful. All he needed was someone to go out and gather the harvest. A couple years ago, our family, we watched the BBC series Lark Rise to Candleford. Have you guys seen that? It's really cool. It's about two towns in the 19th century-ish that were nearby one another. One was poor, and it was a hamlet town, and this was in England. And the other one was a little more sophisticated, where they had the post office and the train and all those things. But when the harvest came in at Larkrise, the hamlet town, it was all hands on deck because it was a do or die situation. Now they were doing the hey, now, hey, down, dairy, dairy, down, and, and they're singing the songs and it's fun, but it is life or death. You bring in the harvest for the winter, or you have no food. There's the same kind of urgency in Jesus' message. The kingdom of God is at hand. Capitalize upon this invitation, because it won't always be there. The urgency is just as real for us to bring the message of the kingdom. The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Secondly, Christ sent them out two by two. Now, why is that important? It was important for their safety. You really are going among wolves, spiritually and literally. You really are lambs among these wolves. But it was also an opportunity to share with one another the joy of spreading the kingdom, the joy of bringing healing, the joy of watching Satan fall, as Jesus says. St. Alred wrote on spiritual friendship. He said, "There is you and me, and third, Christ in our midst." Now, I celebrate two ordination days every year. The first is on June 10th, the feast day of Ephraim the Syrian. And that is my diaconal ordination. Now, the reason why that one is important to me is because that's what the pension fund thinks is important. They say that's your first day. And so June 10th, someday, will be my last day. Someday. And then there's December 10th, which is my ordination to the priesthood. Two by two. I've always thought it necessary to have a mentor, to have someone with me. But most importantly, the woman right there in the cassock and surplice. We've gone 2x2 for 16 years. And it's been wonderful. And I couldn't do it without her. Same is true for all of you. How will you fulfill the mission of Christ? How will you go 2x2? If I was to divide us up today, I'd figure out the 2x2s and send you out. But think about that in your mind. Who is that person that you have spiritual friendship with? Who you are on mission with? Think about that. But lastly, probably most importantly, Jesus sends them out with nothing but the clothes on their back and the message. Nothing but the clothes on their back and the message. They were to bring no food, no money, nothing even to carry food or money in. This was to teach them total dependence on Jesus and on the message of the kingdom. Jesus was saying there is an inherent power in the message you bring. And the 70 experienced that power firsthand. There is a freedom in following Christ without any kind of attachment to the world or material things. And by material things, I don't mean necessarily money. I mean anything at all. Now, it's a blessing to own things. But raise your hand if the things that we own keep us ensnared. Jacob was the first to raise his hand. The 70 were to become completely dependent on the Lord and the message of the kingdom. The Lord had them right where he wanted them. St. Francis of Assisi understood this concept, which is why he told his community, "You will own nothing. Nothing belongs to you. Even the food that you eat, we're going to get from somewhere else." And St. Francis says, if we had any possessions, we should need weapons and laws to defend them. Also, he reasoned, what can you do to a person who owns nothing? You can't starve a fasting person. You can't steal from someone who has no money. You can't ruin someone who hates prestige. They are truly free. Are we truly free? Are those in this world around us truly free? Great quote from St. Augustine. God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are too full to receive them. I'd say that's true for the world around us. But they desperately need to know about the King and the kingdom that you know about, that you live in every day of your life. It's a different kind of kingdom. But God continues to work despite our inability to see, and it seems like it's harder and harder to see every day. But when the Son sets you free, says John, you are free indeed. Now, we are in the business of bringing the news, not in the business of convincing or selling or coercing or begging. We simply bring the message. The kingdom of heaven has come. the kingdom of heaven is near. The Holy Spirit is in the business of converting and changing and transforming. And he continues to go ahead of us. David Gordner says, the Holy Spirit, whose life-giving and awakening love is present in all human lives, long before we ever arrived, even as evangelists. The harvest is still plentiful, and the workers are still few. Will we be available to bring that which truly brings freedom to the world? Are we available? Amen.